Good morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus, the name, the only name whereby we can be saved. The precious Son of God who came into this world to give us hope, to give us that eternal hope and peace that we can get through him by giving ourselves over to him and allowing him to lead and to guide us. I want to extend a hearty welcome to each one that has come out. Should there be guests in our midst, a hearty welcome to you as well. It is Pentecost this morning where we want to look into that, into Pentecost, and see what Christ's promises did, the promises that he made and what they did. I also want to greet you with the words which we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, where it says, unto the church which is at Corinth, and I want to address this to the Winkler Sommerfeld Mennonite Church this morning. And then he goes on and he says, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And then he goes on, after he has blessed them, after he has encouraged them, after he has called them out specifically, and that is what my wish was here to do here this morning, to call you out. And it is my prayer that we are all sanctified in Christ Jesus, and we know that we are called to be his saints. And to be his saint is not a small matter, where we need to and we have to surrender self and allow him to lead and to guide us. And then we will be able to experience the next verse where he says, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Father, we thank you once again for this last night, where you've kept us through the night, where we're able to rest our physical bodies. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the freedom that we still have. Father, for so many years already, you have kept this country safe. And it was founded upon your name. It was based on you. And Lord, we pray that as we continue, that we would never lose that. That we would, our focus would truly be you. And sometimes it seems as though the evil is so prevalent. There's so much around us. And yet, we know that you know who we are and how many we are and what our motives are. And Father, may our motives always be to glorify your name. And we know that on our own it is impossible, but through you all things are possible. Heavenly Father, we pray for those that would love to be here but can't for whatever reason. Be with them in a special way. Bless them that they might truly know that you haven't forgotten them and that your will for them is the best. And sometimes we go through hard times which we don't understand, and yet you know. Father, I pray that should there be someone hurting here this morning, that you would put your arms around them and that you would encourage them, that they too can be encouraged, that they can be uplifted and go forward praising your name. Lord, this morning I pray for each one that has a partner service, that you would give them the strength. And I also pray for myself, that as you give me the words to speak, that I would speak each word boldly. We pray this all in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen. I'll turn it over to the song leaders.
Take your red hymnal and turn to number 352. Oh, grant me now thy Spirit's presence. 352.
Once far away from the Savior, 170.
Redeemer has power to save.
This morning I want to start off in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And we read, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." So he starts off here, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. So when I read that, there must be some description of it before that, because it talks about, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when it had arrived, when it had been prophesied, it had been told to the disciples that it would come, that they were supposed to go back to Jerusalem and wait for it. And they were faithful. They did go back and they did wait. And in Jesus, God was able to fulfill his promise the way that he intended for it to be. So when we look at this passage here, and it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," what has Christ entrusted for you and for me to do? And how are we fulfilling his plan? Because he says his plan will go forward. And he also has indicated, and I don't know where that verse is right now, but he says, if you won't do what you need to do, he says, the rocks will cry out. His plan will be accomplished. One day this world will burn up. And he will have taken everyone out of this world. And where will we then be spending eternity? So I want to go to chapter 1 in Acts, and we'll go through that. And Luke, he's written, I understand Luke has written this, and he's in chapter 1, he's written the entire story of Jesus in a short form and what his mission was in this world. In verse 1, it says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." And so when I read the former treatise, what is he talking about? And I looked up the word treatise, and it talks about detailed study. So here Luke, he's encouraging his fellow co-worker to go forward and to do what he has been set out to do. Can we also be that same person that Luke was? Do we know Scripture well enough? Do we have the faith within us to tell others? He has called you and me to be his hands and his feet. And he wants us to do that. And then in verse 2, it says, "Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed himself alive after a passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." And then in verse 4, he says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me." So here, Luke, he writes and he says, he reminds them that they were commanded to go back. He tells us of the short of Jesus' life here on this earth in short, and that they were supposed to go back, and then they were supposed to wait. Does any of you have problem waiting? I must confess I do. I would like to know. I would like to know now. And yet I thank God that he hasn't allowed all my requests to... He didn't answer all my requests because they would not have been good for me. Sometimes when we wait, we see the full picture and then we don't even want to go there, which I thought was the right road. And he told his disciples, he says, go back to Jerusalem and wait. Verse 5, he says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So this was one of the promises that he promised to them before he ascended up to heaven. He says, go back and wait, and you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? So we see here that the children of Israel, or his disciples, they did not understand. They had been told, we can read about it, but they were told that this was going to happen, and they couldn't quite understand it. So they ask questions just like we do sometimes. Or maybe I should say many times. We ask questions. And then Jesus answers them in verse 7 and 8. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. So I want to stop there for a bit. And when he says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. We might not have the whole picture, but we need to have faith. We need to believe that we are on the right road, that we are where God wants us to be, and that his mission will be accomplished by what I do through him. What he does, I should say, what he does through me. And then in verse 8, he goes on and he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And then in verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Are we prepared? Are we prepared for the coming of Jesus? Many have met him already. Many he has taken out of this world. And we don't know if we will die or if he will take us. But do we have the faith and do we believe that we are ready? That the road that he has prepared for us is the road that we are walking on? Or have we been deceived? It is a choice. We need to choose. We need to try the spirits. Which spirit am I following? Is it the spirit of God or is it the spirit of the evil one, the devil? And then in verse 12 it goes on, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. The Sabbath day journey. Do we know what a Sabbath day journey is? And I just looked it up. I didn't know. And what I got was out of that, whoever wrote that, a Sabbath day journey is between 3,000 and 3,600 feet, which is just over half a mile. So that is how far Jesus and the disciples walked out of Jerusalem, where he ascended up to heaven, just over half a mile away. And in verse 13, and when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter and James. And it goes on and it gives names of all the people that were there. And then in verse 14, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120 men and brethren. This scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now when this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known to all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in the proper tongue Esildima, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalm, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be the witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, shew whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of his ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So I've read Luke chapter 1 now, and it talked about Jesus' life on this earth, and not only Jesus' life, but after Jesus went to heaven, the disciples were told to go back, return to Jerusalem, and wait for this promise, and they did. Not only did they just go back and wait, but they fulfilled. One of the disciples that Jesus had chosen, and we know it was Judas who betrayed him, who died, later died, and they filled that void. They said, we need one more person. So they didn't just go back and stop, but they continued the work of Christ, just like we need to do today. We need to continue. Sometimes one person comes in, one goes out, but there are always positions, there are always places that need to be filled, positions that need to be filled. And we need to continue to do that. We want to, at this time, take the opportunity that we have to go on bended knee before our all-knowing God, who knows us inside out, who knows our thoughts, our deeds. And we want to pour out our heart to him. And I want to encourage us that we truly pour out our heart to him, that he can speak to us in whatever manner that he sees fit that we need speaking to. So for those of you who are able, let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Let's take your blue hymnal and turn to number 400 at Calvary. 400. For those that are able, let's stand.
We have prayed in the name of Jesus, we can be assured of he will have heard our prayers. I want to turn to Acts chapter 2. First of all, verses 1 to 8. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. We're quite a few people here today. Are we in one accord? We're in one place. Are we also all in one accord? A very important question that I need to ask myself. In verse 2, it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" So the people, they were all, it tells us here that they were all together in one accord, and there were things that happened which they had never experienced before. And as I mentioned before already, that we have the privilege of reading about it, Spirit. But they personally experienced the first time the Holy Spirit was sent down to them. And that is the same Spirit that dwells within each believer, each one that believes in Jesus Christ. And we know that there are many believers out there, and they don't all believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But each one that believes in Jesus Christ, and we have surrendered our life to Him, we can have that same Spirit that those men at that time experienced. And it is interesting to see in these first 8 verses of how God works and how people from every nation were there and they heard about it. As I said before already, His work will be accomplished. He finds a way, He knows ways of doing it. To Him, it is easy, even though we cannot understand it. We need to have that faith and go forward believing that this truly happened and that there were men in Jerusalem at that time out of every nation, and they all experienced it, and how they heard the men of Galilee speak in different languages. We know that there are many, many languages, and we don't know all those languages. And these men also didn't know, but by the grace of God, God allowed it to happen to further His kingdom. These men believed what Jesus had told them. They went back to Jerusalem and they waited. And God fulfilled that promise through them. He was able to do that. And then I want to go down to verse 11. And the 9 and 10, it has all those different types of people that were there. And 11, it goes in Cretes and Arabians. "We do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God." So not only were they speaking in different languages, but they were speaking the word of God. And it doesn't matter what language we speak, we can go out there and we can tell others of the love of God. And that is what He's asking us to do. And then in verse 12 it says, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this?" Do we sometimes also doubt about the way or maybe where God has led us, where He's taken us? Am I truly in the will of God? These men, they were, the people they were, they doubt, they, it says they were in doubt. And we can always go back to God and we can ask Him, is this truly? And how can we do that also? We can take His word and read it. And when we're in His will, when we read the word of God and it lines up where we're at with our walk in life, we can know. We can know, and that we can remove doubt and replace it with freedom, with boldness. And we can go forward and preach the word of God. Verse 12, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this?" 13, "Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine." But Peter, and here's Peter again. He stands up in his boldness. When Jesus said that He would be crucified, Peter says, "Oh no, I'm going to protect you. No one will that in his own strength." And Jesus actually says, "Satan, get behind me." But then Jesus also follows up and he says, but I have prayed that your faith would not fail. Jesus knows the intent of my heart. He knows the intent of your heart. What is he seeing? Is he seeing the faith of Peter, even though he failed? But yet, his motives were to do what was right. What did Peter do when he realized that he had fallen short after the roosters had crowed three times? And Jesus also told him that he would deny him three times. And he said the rooster would not crow till he had denied him three times. But when Peter realized, when he heard that rooster crow, these thoughts came back to him. And he went out and he wept bitterly. What do we do when we realize that we've fallen short? Do we take care of that sin? Or do we then try to hide it that no one else will find out? Peter went out and he wept bitterly. When we're sorry for our, when we don't want to do, when we realize that we've fallen short, we should also do what Peter did. Take care of that sin before it can take root and destroy what has started within us as believers. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. And I alluded to that before already. Do we have that same boldness in Christ that Peter had? That we would be able to say and listen to what I have to say to you. That's what Peter is saying here. And hearken to my words. Verse 15, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit shall see visions, and your old man shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will shew wonders in heavens above and signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. In verse 21 it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is there anyone here today that isn't saved yet? Is there anyone listening that isn't saved yet? Friends, time is short. And I want to encourage you, don't wait any longer. Because we don't know whether we will walk out of this sanctuary or we will be carried out. But this we do know, when God takes away our last breath, we have chosen where we will spend eternity. And it is my prayer that we will all meet in heaven around the throne of God on that great day. Peter goes on and he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words in verse 22. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Can we see how what Peter is speaking here? He's giving the honor and the glory to God, and how he will receive the joy to continue. And he goes on in 29, and he says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So Peter, he's speaking of Jesus who had been with him, and he has gone back to heaven. Verse 31, it says, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Can we still be witnesses of him today, having not seen him? I believe yes, in a very, very real way. Taking his word and applying it to our life, and we will know, because we will have peace. I'm not saying that we will have peace in this world, but we will have peace in our heart, knowing that Christ, the one who died on the cross, who took away my sins, has gone back to heaven, and he's sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for you and me, as he interceded for Peter before Jesus was nailed to the cross, where he told Peter that I have prayed that your faith would not fail. In verse 33, it says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes my footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. This is the freedom that we have in Christ, just like it tells us in this verse, in verse 41. And they that gladly received. Is it a burden following Christ? Is it a burden being called to serve? How do you find it? If it is a burden, are we right with Christ? It should never be a burden. And I sometimes struggle with the thought of not being able to get people to help in the most worthy work that there is in this world. In the Church of Jesus Christ, in the Zummerville Mennonite Church, when we are called to help, we deny, we have excuses. And I'm not saying that we can always say yes. But with the amount of people that we have, why are we lacking workers? Why don't we have people coming forward saying, I am willing? Then they that gladly received, his word were baptized. When we were baptized, were we happy about that? Or did we do it because someone was watching, or maybe we wanted to get married, or whatever? What was it? What encouraged you? Why did you get baptized? What were your motives? And what are your motives today? Continuing in verse 41. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. If we turn to Acts chapter 5, it talks about Ananias and Sapphira. And I believe we all know the story. I'm not going to read it. But they also sold their possessions, just like everybody else did. They sold their possessions. It tells us that the people gave to the church what they had sold. And when we look at Ananias and Sapphira, they kept back a portion which they had the right to. It was theirs. No one said they had to give. They kept back part of it, and then they went and they made it look as if this is what they had sold their possessions for. They had not deceived man, but they had deceived God. They kept back portion and made it look as if. Where are we standing? Are we filling a pew here this morning to make it look good, that people can see me come and go? Or am I here for a reason? Am I here to be encouraged that I can go out and spread the good news and truth? Not trying to deceive others. And then in verse 46 it says, And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Again, the intent of the heart is what I get out of this last verse here when it says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And we can have that saved in confidence with boldness because we have applied the roadmap to our life to the best of our knowledge, and we are following Jesus Christ. That is my wish and prayer for each and every one of us here. That is what our motive is, and that is what we are truly doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Father, we thank you once again for who you are and what you've done for us. We thank you for the celebration that we're celebrating today, where you sent the Holy Spirit. You promised to your disciples, they went back, they waited, and they received. And because of their faithfulness, they were able to do things that they did not know that they could do. And that was speak in different languages and do different miracles. Father, we pray that you would forgive us for the many times that we have fallen short. Father, we pray that each one in his own heart would pray, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Mold me and make me into your image. And we thank you for that. We pray this all in your precious name with thanksgiving. Amen. We want to one more time go on bended knee. And for whatever lies in your hearts, let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Let's take our blue book and turn to number 109. I'm praying for you. Number 109.
Savior, the world's friends be true, and now shining in brightness, dear friend, could I see you receiving one too? For you I am praying, for you I am praying, for you I am praying, I'm praying for you. When Jesus has found you, tell others a story that my loving Savior is your Savior too. Then pray that your Savior will bring them to glory, and prayer will be answered, was answered for you. For you I am praying, for you I am praying, for you I am praying, I'm praying for you.
The local ministerial just asked me if I would come and do this announcement. Next Sunday is Baptism Sunday. Apparently it's not got into the bulletin before, so they wanted to make a public announcement of it. So that's next Sunday at 10 a.m. in the morning. Then also tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, our usual time, we will have a Pentecost Monday service. And the service, I believe, will be done by Bishop Ken Funk. Thank you.
As for this morning's worship service, I have nothing more to bring you out of God's word, but I want to thank you for coming, and may the Lord richly bless you. I want to bless you with a benediction, which we find in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. And would you unite with me? Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And you may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember, Jesus is watching.